Good day, this is Scott Hamilton. Welcome to another episode of 10 Minutes About. Joining me today is Catherine Creedy, who writes for Leeham News, and she is the editor of her own online newsletter, Future Aviation / Aerospace Workforce News. The newsletter focuses on workforce issues, and this is what we're going to talk about today. How commercial aviation workforce will recover from COVID and some related issues. And so with that, the clock is now ticking. Catherine, how many airline workers and aerospace manufacturers, supply chain workers have been laid off voluntarily or involuntarily in the pandemic? We just need to refresh our listeners' minds on that.
Well, we don't know is the answer to that. Too many estimates have been out there. We know that as of October 1st, about 40,000 airline workers were laid off. So that's, of course, very devastating. We don't have any estimates for aviation maintenance technicians or, but on the other hand, many companies are hiring, like aerospace continues to hire, and indeed, companies like AAR Corp, for instance, have outplacement programs where they match their workers to workers that are needed by, say, Lockheed Martin or Northrop Grumman or, you know, those that are hiring. So that's a really good way of doing the outplacement. But it also covers up what, you know, we don't know, which is how many people have lost their jobs as the result of the pandemic since March. And we just flat out don't know that for the U.S., nor do we know it for the rest of the world.
Why are companies hiring when aerospace manufacturing has just taken a devastating hit?
It's not just the Boeings. It's the Lockheed Martins and Northrop Grummans. They are hiring because commercial space has not stopped. Future emerging technologies such as urban air or advanced air mobility has not stopped, as we saw during the summer when we had flight tests. Electrics for aircraft has not stopped. They're still looking for employees. So it's the pocket of the airline and travel related industries that have had the losses, but there are other pockets such as cargo or other aerospace programs that have that are still hiring and that are being very robust. We just had a record number of launches from the Space Coast this year, so it is definitely not a one-size-fits-all picture of devastation. There are pockets of devastation, but also pockets of very robust hiring. What we do know is that because of the accelerated retirements, both in for aviation maintenance technicians and for pilots, we will face a greater shortage coming down the line in, I would say, as early as late 21 or 22, as the industry begins to recover. There are many reasons for this, but that retirement bubble that was accelerated has aviation educators and industry associations very worried that they're not going to be able to meet their challenges as the aviation industry recovers because of those early retirements.
Well, even before the pandemic, airlines faced aging pilot workforce, and regional airlines were having difficulties finding and retaining pilots. As the aging pilots get older during layoffs, what kind of shortages do you see as the industry recovers in a few years?
This is exactly the problem. I think that Cowen Securities estimated that the need for retirements at the beginning of the pandemic was about 12,000 pilots, and that was about how many pilots were reaching retirement in the next 5 years. So we don't know exactly how many pilots have been laid off because there's just been no reports on it, and the government is very slow on telling us those reports. But it will mean significant shortages in the 22 and out period around the world. So even if we approach 10,000 pilots that have taken early retirement, that there is going to be a massive shortage of both pilots and AMTs. And we're not just talking about AMTs and pilots. We're talking about flight dispatchers. We're talking about simulator technicians. We're talking about air traffic controllers. We're talking about, especially in manufacturing, I read this morning that there are hundreds of thousands of jobs that will go unfilled because we don't have the workforce to meet the challenge. And that's why we see a greater emphasis on education today, both with colleges as well as career and technical education and community colleges to try to match local needs with local training and education.
So Boeing and Airbus had forecast the needs for hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pilots and mechanics over the next 20 years. I think the figure is somewhere like 600,000 in each category. Mm-hmm. Where are these coming from? And the military used to be a principal source of pilots for the airlines. But then you have all of the demand in the emerging markets in Asia, the low-cost carriers. And as we saw with the Ethiopian and Lion Air crashes, that highlighted the need for training. Where are all the bodies going to come from, and how are they going to be trained?
And this is the $64,000 question. We have spaces in aviation maintenance technician schools going unfilled. We have on career and technical education. We have more demand, twice the demand than there are spaces to fill. So it's spotty around the industry, but this is the major problem. We have great programs from Experimental Aircraft Association and AOPA and Aviation Communities Foundation to provide more pilots, and they're reaching millions of students. So that's very, very good, but it takes 5 years to make a pilot. And so we're going to have incredible shortages in the next few years as we ramp up, not to mention the training challenges that we're going to have for those that were furloughed and who need to get back in the flight deck.
Now, as we know, the regional airlines have been a particular challenge here in the United States. Embraer's whole product strategy really revolves principally around the 175 size airplane for the U.S. regional carriers. The 175E2 is not scope compliant, but they're continuing to sell the 175E1. With this kind of pilot shortage for the regional airlines, what do you see for the recovery of the regional jet in the U.S. market and the global market? Is that a market that's drying up?
No, I don't think so at all. First of all, a lot of analysts were looking at the regional market as being a gateway to recovery because the smaller airplanes, et cetera. It does remain unclear, however, whether that's going to actually happen or whether we're going to, and I think this is what's going to happen, is we'll finally see a consolidation of the regional airline industry. As for regional jets, the demand will be there, but it really will depend on how many of the markets that have been dropped by the mainline carriers are restored. And since they're used for mainly to connect business markets with hubs to other business markets, they should fare fairly well.
And finally, we're got about a minute left here. In a nutshell, how soon do you see the airline industry recovering, which of course translates to the recovery of the manufacturing industry and the supply chain?
I see it starting in 2022. I know that IATA and everybody else thinks it's gonna be 2023, 24, perhaps 25, but I'm a little bit more optimistic because I think there is a pent-up demand, as we saw with the Thanksgiving and Christmas rushes. I think that there is a pent-up demand, economy notwithstanding. The people who have been mostly affected by the turned down have been people who would travel infrequently anyway. And it really depends on the faith in the vaccine and whether that vaccine will cover the evolution of the COVID virus that is now going on in the UK and Europe.
All right, that does it for this 10 Minutes About. And Catherine, appreciate you joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, thank you, Scott. And thanks for the opportunity. It's been a lot of fun. I love